we're almost ready to make a siyum on the sugya of Bas Mechalov, at least for our purposes. So we spoke a lot about Dinim Derais of Bas Mechalov, Dinim Derabban of Bas Mechalov. We spoke for the last several weeks about some of the issues that come to our modern day kitchens in terms of ovens and stoves. So today I want to speak a little bit about the issues of washing dishes, washing plates and milk and dishes together, both in terms of the old style shilas, in terms of washing in the sink, and even the old style, before the days of sinks, washing in tubs and sinks, and then of course trying to move on a little bit to discuss the issues of dishwashers as well as manazeh. So the sugya actually begins not in the Gemara per se, and it begins with the Tosfos in Maseches Chulin. The Tosfos is commenting on a sugya that we spoke a lot about several weeks ago. So just to recap for a moment, we spoke about a sugya that's called Nosein Tam, by Nosein Tam, or called Not for Not for short, which means that I have a Tam of Basar, but the Tam of Basar, the taste of Basar, is several times removed. It's not an actual piece of meat, but rather it's a piece of meat that touched a plate, and then that plate in turn touched a piece of parva food. And the question is just how flacious is that parva food? Can tam of basar transfer several times over? So we paskin that mikra din, not for not as mutter. So the original case of the Gemara was that I take a hot piece of meat and put it onto a plate, and then I wash off the plate and I put a hot piece of fish onto that plate, and now I want to eat that fish together with milchik, so mikra din is mutter, because not for not as mutter. So it's based on this that Tosfos raises the question, the first of the Mamakamos, about washing fleshiks and milchiks together. So we just have to familiarize ourselves a little bit what washing dishes was in the days of the Bali Atos and the days of the Rishonim. So Tosfos fills you in the first of the Mamakamos. Look at the Dharma Shal Bakar, Uka'ara Shemishtam Shemim Bosar, Shehukhu Bamachma Shal Chola Bikli Rishon, Ushneim Bnei Yoma. What they used to do is they would fill up a big tray with water, and then they would put the water, tray of the water on the fire, and they would heat it up, and then they would throw the dirty dishes into that tray. So if by mistake the person took a milchik tray and threw his fleshik dishes into the milchik tray. So the question is there going to be a nesidas tam from one to another? Fleshik dishes, can they give off tam to the milchiks, the milchiks can give off tam to the fleshiks, and it's going to create a whole big balagan, a mixture of bas mechol v'nah. So comes to us and paints for us the worst case scenario, namely, it's fleshik dishes together in a milchik tray. It's all sitting on the fire. It's the kli rishon, so it's potentially a significant amount of absorbing of taste. Ushneim bnei yomer, everything has been yomo. Everything has been used within 24 hours. The dishes were just used at the last meal. The milchik tray was used for breakfast this morning. The hat milchiks. So now you have potential tam and mixing together. What is the halacha? So Tosfos' first approach to the sugya is, maybe we can label this not for enough. Maybe we could argue that the tam and the taste that are being given off here are already several times removed. Because if you think about it, what do you mean it's a milchik tray? It means that one time there was milchiks that gave tam into this tray, and now it's giving off tam back into the water, washing off the fleshes. Or one time there was fleshes giving tam into the kalim, into the dishes, and that tam is now coming out a second time. So maybe we can hide behind knot by knot and declare everything to be mutter. So Tosfos says not so simple. So for several reasons, Tosfos says it's not so simple. So first of all, we had a machlokas in the sugya of knot by knot. Would knot by knot work derech bishul? If things are cooked together, can we automatically label that knot by knot? Or do we have to say that whenever it's cooked, so when it's cooked together in one shot, that's not considered to be knot by knot anymore? So Tosfos first attempts to deal with the washing dishes based on that. So Tosfos continues and says, on the second line, Yesh Lassar. So Tosfos says, we have to aser, if you wash the dishes in the wrong tray, the wrong pan, the wrong pot, we have to aser everything. Even if you want to tell me that not by not is mutter derech bishul, this is significantly worse than not by not. Why is that? The Tosfos says for a very simple reason. Tosfos says this is not by not anymore. Not by not means when all you have is taste, and the taste has been jumping around from one clique to another clique to another clique, that's called not by not. Here you have what's called be'en. Here you have real fleshes. You have filthy dishes. You have greasy, dirty, fleshic dishes. What kind of not for not is that? So Tosfos says, just for the mere fact that the dishes are dirty, that undermines the entire sugya. So says Tosfos, I feel this bashar shamnunis to en ala ka'aros, tavikisakim shlodis kaneach. It's like if you have a knife that still has meat on it. The also bekudus loshanachev, remember we spoke about this also several weeks ago. If you take a dirty fleshic knife and you cut anything with it, so of course there's going to be a problem. But then Tosfos says, I feel ein shamnunis to en. Tosfos says, even if the dishes aren't all that dirty, it's still a problem. You know why? He says, Tosfos, a few Eidah Shem Nunez Be'en, Osir, Taka'aros Nogin B'machvas, V'nifla tam mizeh lozeh, v'avi tam sheni bi'isur. Says Tosis, when you're washing dishes in the opposite kind of a pan, so the pan is touching the dishes, and the dishes are touching the pan. So when the second tam comes out of the dish into the pan, it's touching the milchiks right away. Not by not means, when I have a tam of basar that goes into a plate, and then it subsequently goes into a piece of fish, and now an hour later I want to take that fish and eat that fish together with milk. So you can argue that's already twice removed. The tam has traveled so many times before the milk is introduced into the mixture, that's not considered to be a problem. Over here, everything's touching each other. So you have, even if it's clean fleshing dishes, if it's a clean fleshing dish and a clean milk tray, it doesn't matter, since the two utensils are touching one another, that's automatically a problem. And then it also says that for a third reason it's a problem. For Oud, so the dummy cloud of Dagam Shalabakara, Takashatam Shani Shabasal Shachol of Nichlas Bamayim, Miyad Nesramayim. It also says, in the case of washing dishes, the two tamim meet one another in the water, and as soon as they meet in the water, it becomes basar b'chol of water. So chozu v'yosrin haka'aras v'amachavas, and then that water in turn traced up everything. So bottom line, Tosa says, forget not for now. It's not going to help you at all. It's not going to help you for multiple reasons. Number one, the dishes are dirty. Number two, even if the dishes are clean, but the dishes are touching the tray. And number three, even if they're not touching the tray, there's still a problem because the dishes and the tray are emitting tam into the water. And once those two tam are joined together, you have bas b'chol on your hands. So for a whole variety of reasons, Tosfos says the bottom line is you can't wash your fleshing dishes in the milchik trays or vice versa. Everything is off limits. Everything's going to be awesome, even b'di'evet. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the second of the Maamar Kabbalah, when he quotes the Tosfos, so the Shulchan Aruch only quotes half of Tosfos. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if you're washing your fleshing dishes in your milk tray with hot water, everything's okay. You know why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, he only quotes the first reason of Tosfos, namely, if the dishes are dirty, then you have a problem. If the dishes are clean, then it's okay. The Ramah then goes on to say, guess what, even if the dishes are clean, it's still going to be a problem. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference for us, because our dishes are always dirty. If they're not dirty, what are you washing them for? So unless some people like to wash clean dishes, you know, really make sure they're super duper duper clean. But the bottom line is 99.99% of the time, we're going to have to deal with dirty dishes. So therefore, whether you like those reasons, you don't like all the types of reasons, like some of those reasons, you're Sephardi, you're Ashkenazi, Mechaber, the bottom line is dirty dishes are going to be in. So if you wash your dirty dishes, fleshiks, in a milchik tray, or a milchik dish in a fleshik tray, you're going to have a problem.
Oh, okay,
okay. We're assuming now they're doing fleshiks. You're not going to have it. They're not doing fleshiks. That's the clean dishes, right? You're not going to have it. So the starting point sounds like we're in big trouble. Now, most of us are not going to be washing our dishes in this manner, because we don't wash dishes, we don't fill up trays with water, put it onto the fire to throw our dirty dishes into it. We use a sink, even before a dishwasher, we use a sink. So the question is, what exactly is the status of our sinks vis-a-vis this discussion that the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are having? So if we skip down in the middle of the second of the Maamar Kabbalah, a couple of lines down, the first word on the line is Vidafka. But in the middle of a quote from a Ramah, Vidafka Shehurch Miyachar B'Kli Rishon, says the Ramah, the only time that everything we just said is a problem, that we just traced up everything, that's only if they were actually washed together in a Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon meaning either something that was on the fire still, or something that was at least at one time on the fire. If they are washed one after another, we can leave it out for now. Or b'klisheni, if it'll be yachad kol shari. So says the Ramah, if it was washed in the klisheni, then everything is okay. This is part of a theory that the Ramah has. We spoke about this in the past. The Ramah's opinion is that anything that's done in the klisheni doesn't pose a problem. Klisheni doesn't answer anything. So that's very questionable whether we follow that line of the Ramah, but it's also not that relevant for us. What's most relevant for us is what the Ramah is about to say. What if in the ira mikli rishon shabasa akli chalav? What if you don't wash the dishes literally in a kli rishon on the fire, and you don't wash the dishes in a kli sheni where the contents have been emptied out, but rather you wash the dishes by pouring hot onto the dishes themselves? You're pouring hot water onto the dishes from a third kli, That's the question that the Ramah raises. Is that considered to be the equivalent of a Kli Rishon, thereby prohibiting everything? Everything is also as Belias, everything taste gets infused from one to another, and everything is Bas B'cholov? Or do I have a right to say that Irui is not a problem? When I'm pouring from another Kli, maybe I can ignore the results. That seems to be the most similar to the way our washing dishes is, at least in the sink. The flaccid dishes and milking dishes, and I'm pouring hot water from the third source, from the faucet. What is the din? So the Ramah makes the following distinction. V'imira, going back to that Ramah, v'imira mikli rishon shabaso al kli chalav, dinok mikli rishon, v'oser imay ben yobo. Comes the Ramah and says, if you pour boiling hot water from a flaccid pot onto a milchik kli, that's a problem. Aval, in ira mayim roschin she'ena shabaso, v'lo shalchalav, Akelim Shabbosim Shachol Biyachad, Yafilu Shimon Davak Behem, Hakol Shari. Comes the Ramah and says, what if you have fleshy dishes and milking dishes, everything sitting together, and you pour water from a third kli, from a pair of a kli, onto the two sets of dishes together? Says the Ramah, everything is mutter. You know why? The Ein Irik and Kli Rishon Mamish, Shiyaseh Shakelim Shemar Alein Yivlu Mizemizeh. Says the Ramah, Iroi is not literally a Kli Rishon. It doesn't have the ability to cause a transferring of taste from the fleshy dishes to the milky dishes. So this Ramah seems to be the model for our washing of dishes, at least the old style model of washing, so people wash in the sink. So I have fleshy dishes and milky dishes, and I'm pouring water from a third source. The third source is from the step, from the faucet, from the boiler. So I'm pouring water onto the dishes. So comes the Ramon and says, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Iroi doesn't cause any problems, because Iroi doesn't have the ability to transfer taste to such an extent, and therefore everything is fine. So where did the world of the Ramon get that from? So we're not the only ones to ask that question. The Shach is bothered with that Ramon, the third of the Ramachamos. The Shach writes, the Ein Iroi can Kli Rishon Mamish. Koshali, says the Shach, it's very difficult. Who says that Iroi is not like Kli Rishon? The Mashu b'Dibi Arav b'Hagos Siman Samaches if Yud. The Iroi of Ashu the Klipa. He says, look back at the Ramah and Siman Samaches and Hukas Malicha, where the Ramah himself says that Iroi is Mavashel. That when you pour water, hot boiling water onto something, you can't ignore that. You can't say, well, it's not sitting on the fire. It's not in the Kli Rishon, therefore it's nothing. Iroi also has the status, a quasi status of being able to be to transfer taste. So what's the Ramah talking about? So comes the Shach and continues. The Tzarech Loma in the next line. The Svila El Arav, the Ramah was told as follows. He's referencing back to the Ramah in Siman Samaches, where the Ramah says if you pour boiling hot water onto a chicken, so that it's considered to be like you're cooking up the chicken. Whereas, when it comes to dishes, so it's much harder to infuse taste into a dish, into silverware, because it's hot, because it's not as soft as the chicken. So says the Shach is guessing that the Ramah holds that when you pour boiling water onto a hard dish, onto a hard plate, onto a hard pot, onto a hard piece of silverware, so nothing really happens, and therefore everything would be alright. So the Shach is trying to defend the Shittas of Ramah. How is it that if you wash plates and milk and dishes together, you can just walk away and say, nothing happened, nothing went wrong? But then the Shach says, Achem le'inyan dina nira, says the Shach, he doesn't think that it's correct, and he goes on to show you that he thinks that Dikra did is that Iwa really does pose a problem. So if we would just read this Ramah and this Shach of Shulchan Aruch, we would come to the following conclusion. If a person washes dishes, it's not as in a sink, by pouring hot water right out of the faucet, and he has a mixture, he made a mistake, he's got his milchik, his plate, everything's all bubbling, everything's all mixed together. According to the Ramah, everything is fine, because the degree of heat of Iroi doesn't have the ability to transfer taste into the hard dishes, into the hot silver, into the hot pots. And according to the Shach, it would be a problem. Iroi does have the ability to cause a transferring of taste. This is all assuming that the water that's coming out of our faucet has the halachic status of Iroi. One could argue that the water coming out of our faucets is worse than Iroi. Why is that? Iroi usually means, in the days of Chazal, Iroi meant, I have a pot, it's sitting on the fire, I take it off the fire, and I start to pour out its contents. So that's what the Rishonim coined the phrase, Iroi. That's not what's happening today. When I have water coming out of the faucet, I didn't turn the fire off. The fire is the boiler. So it's quite possible that the boiler may still be on. The water is coming out of the boiler, through the pipes, open up the faucet, it's coming out. Maybe that's worse than Iroi. Maybe that's a Kli Rishon Mamish, since it's still connected to the original source of the heat. It's still part of the flame. So that was a big machlokes in the Chazanish and others. So the Chazanish claimed that any time you have Eroi that's still connected to the original Klerishon, and the Klerishon is still on the fire, that's worse than Eroi. And others disagreed with the Chazanish.
So the temperature of the water
we're going to see, but we get to the temperature of the water. The temperature of the water is the second factor. The first, we're trying to just halakhically define what kind of a kli it is, and then we're going to have to get to talk about just how hot is the water. So according to the Chazanish, we just made matters significantly worse for ourselves. Because according to the Chazanish, we can't even hide behind the Ramah. Forget about the Shach. The Shach said even he raised the problem. But we can't even hide behind the Ramah when we make a mistake by washing dishes. Because according to the Chazanish, the water that's coming out of our faucet is most probably not even Eroi. It's worse than Eroi. But many, many folks would disagree with the Chazanish. So on the one hand, our faucets may not be as good as the Ramah. On the other hand, our faucets may be better than the Ramah. As you pointed out correctly, just how hot is the water as it's coming out of the faucet. So we mentioned before that only water that's called yatz or lettuce bow has the ability to trace, from anything, has the ability to transfer any taste. So does our water reach that shear of yatz or lettuce bow? So at first glance it sounds, how can it be yatz or lettuce bow? If I'm washing the dishes, isn't it by definition not yatz or lettuce bow? Not so simple, for several reasons. First of all, very often people wash dishes with gloves on. So when you wash dishes with gloves on, obviously you can be able to tolerate significantly more heat than the shear of yatz or lettuce bow. Number two, it depends precisely how do you measure yatz or lettuce bow. So I think it's assumed that if a person washes dishes fairly often, they're always using hot water, so they tend to be a little bit less sensitive to hot water. I think that in most houses, if the women are washing the dishes, I think that their degree of water, of temperature, what they can tolerate, is much higher than the man's ability to tolerate. So it could be that when an average person is washing dishes, it's not so simple that's not yet to let us know. It's hard to say for certain that's not yet to let us know. So we have pros and cons in our sinks. You have on the one hand, it's a little bit worse than the pasuk chazal, because the Eroi may still be connected to the boiler, at least according to the Chazanish Svara. On the other hand, maybe it's a little bit better because maybe the water is a little bit cooler than the water that's being described by chazal. So it's a little bit unclear what the din should be. But again, this is all assuming that the Ramah is right. If you follow the Shach, if any person can follow the Shach, then Eroi poses a problem, then we're back to square one. Then, unless the water is really cold, then we're going to have a problem. Are there any other mitigating factors, any other things we could possibly do to make our washing of the dishes, if we mess up and we wash the flesh and milk and everything all together, is there anything else that we could do to possibly make things better? So the Shulchan Aruch, in the fourth of Ramakomos, in Simen Tzadi Hei Siv Dalet, has a Chiddush. Yeroi Lee says the Shulchan Aruch, Shimnasu Eifra B'mayim Chamin Shebiyoyre. What if you put some kind of ashes, which we use as a cleansing agent, you put it into the hot water before him, Kodim Shenichu Akaderis B'sofa, before you threw in the dirty dishes, even though there's a lot of dirt and there's grease and there's meat on the dishes and you got milchiks, everything's all mixed together, mutter, everything's okay. So three magic words we spoke about many times already this year, called nosin tam of gam. Well, learns out from Sukkim that anytime you have trace of food that tastes very, very bad, nobody would eat it the way it is, so it automatically loses its status of trace. It's been a Torah for sure, and sometimes even in the Rabbanon. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, I have a simple way to solve all your washing dishes problems. Throw a little bit of ashes inside, which is going to make the water taste terrible. It's going to make the whole mixture taste terrible. Nobody would ever sit down and drink this mixture now with ashes and fleshes and milk is all mixed together. So it's no sin time of gam. It's no sin time of gam. It can't pose any problem. It doesn't trave up anything. A Gevalik the solution. So again, this is a throwback to everything we spoke about in the previous weeks when we gave the introduction. One of the major sugis that we spoke about was no sin time of gam. So here we see how the Shulchan Aruch took that theoretical principle of no sin time of gam and now plugged me at lemais in terms of washing dishes. So even though it sounds like simple, partial what the Shulchan Aruch said, the Shach disagrees with it. And the script of the Ramakamos, so the Shach writes, Yirah Li, Din Zelo Nimsa B'Shum Paisek. He says, nobody says such a thing. I'll tell you where nobody said it, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's so obvious, says the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody has to say it. Everyone can figure it out. Shach says, no. Nobody said it. The Lo Shum Echad Me'acharonim Hizkiru. He said, none of the later poskim after the days of the Shulchan Aruch even bothered to quote it. God did they say something, Kiro? Even the Shulchan Aruch himself didn't quote it in the Beis Yosef. All of a sudden, Shulchan Aruch, he came up with this new idea. The Yad Rabba, Mashma Redevet HaPoiskim, the Ein Shum Takon Lahagel Kli Ben Yomo, Yemoshiyesh Memayim Shishim Negad HaKli. So comes the Shach and says, I'll bring you a Raya from all the other Rishonim that they didn't buy into the story. Why? We spoke about this a little bit in the past. when you kasher kelim, so one of the basic principles of kasher and kelim is it has to be kabola kach polto. The same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. So let's say if I trafed up a spoon, I took a milchik spoon, I stirred chicken soup or something. So the way to kasher is you throw it into a pot of boiling water. Sure. So come to Rishonim and say there's a big problem whenever you kasher kelim. Namely, every time you kasher kelim, what goes out is going to go back in again. So I kasher the spoon, all the trefas come shooting out of the spoon, goes into the water, goes right back again into the spoon. It goes right back again into the pot and ruins everything. How could you ever kasher anything based on Hagala? So the Rishonim said the answer is one of two things. Either one solution is you have to wait 24 hours. If you wait more than 24 hours, then any time that's going to go back in is going to be what's called the Nosim time of God. That's one solution. The other solution is if you use a very, very big pot. So if you use a tremendous pot filled with lots and lots of water, so the little bit of time that's going to come out of the spoon into the water is going to become bubble the shishim in the water, and it's negligence, it's irrelevant, so it doesn't affect the outcome of the water, the outcome of the pot, or the outcome of the spoon again. So those are the two official eitzes that are given in the Rishonim. If you look, says the Shach, nobody came up with another great idea. Why do you have to wait 24 hours? Why do you have to get a big pot? It's all simple. Throw a little bit of detergent in. Throw a little bit of ashes in. Make the water nosa tam of gam. If the Shacharach is right, and whenever the water tastes bad, it doesn't trafe up the pot, it doesn't trafe up anything, so then how come nobody ever thought of that idea? So you see from here that Afer doesn't do the trick. So it's a very, very difficult shach, because we know there's a principle called nosa tam of gam. Shacharach didn't make up nosa tam of gam. Shacharach just extrapolated from that pre-existing principle and said, hey, let's use it in terms of washing dishes. So the shach is very hard to understand. Conceptually, Shacharach sounds like he's right. That's why the later post can point out that we're not really sure what the Shach had against the Shulchan Aruch. The simple pshat is like the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore if you put something which really, really tastes bad, which will ruin the taste of the food, so in a chinami that will solve the problem. So it's based on this, as many poskim writes, Shulchan writes this way, Ramayshi writes this way, that me'ika mikra din bizman hazeh, since most people wash dishes with soap, so the soap is probably more pogim than the afer of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know what the afer and the water tasted like, but I can tell you the soap doesn't taste that good. So comes the later pachranim and write, that if a person has soap, so that may solve all problems in terms of all washing dishes. So many folks can rely on this, at least b'di'evet. We don't tell people to wash their flesh with dishes in the same sink at the same time. But b'di'evet, after it happened already, so I usually ask the person a few questions. So if I get one or two yeses, I'll give them a green light in this. So usually I'll start to ask, well, how hot was the water? So usually they'll say, we're not really sure. Maybe it was yaslazbo, maybe it wasn't yaslazbo. Okay, so that's one time also. Then I always have in the back of my mind the Ramah. That's according to the simple reading of the Ramah, so since the water is coming from the faucet, it's like Eroi, and Eroi doesn't trafe up the pot. So I always have that. Those two start with a little bit in the back of my head. Then I ask him the third question, did you use soap? So here, different people part ways. So sometimes it depends where the shadow happens. If it happens in a normal house, usually the answer is from a soap. If it happens in a dormitory or somewhere, so I'm not going to share you what some of the answers I've gotten there are. So, but let's talk about regular normal people are washing dishes with soap, so then we can assume that's fine, that's in time of God. But even though we don't like lechatchilish or lechatchilin, we rely on that, but usually the tear of a few things, it's hard to trace things up in the evid whenever you have the factor of the soap factor, then it's in time of God. So up until now, we've been talking about some degree the modern day application of the way the Rishon, the way Tosfos and Shulchan Aruch were describing the washing of dishes. So even though we don't put things into the same tub anymore, it's not a tub type of a thing, it's more of a sink type of a thing, and it's not putting things in a tub and then heating it up on a flame, it's getting water out of a faucet, but again the model is pretty similar to the days of the Rishon. Now the post can begin to discuss how should this all play out in terms of a person using a sink and actually trying to use the same sink for both fleshes and milch. It's not at the same time. Often I talk about you by mistake, you wash dishes together at the same time. Most people aren't going to do that today. But I only have one sink and I want to use the same sink for fleshes, and then an hour later I want to use the same sink to wash milch. So what could potentially go wrong with that? Is that really a problem now? So Rabbi Moshe has an idea about looking at sinks. Moshe says that basically we view the sink through the eyes of Eroi, like we spoke about before, but we're not so fast to say that, well, it's Eroi and therefore everything is okay. And even Rabbi Shimon Chachin is not so fast to say, well, the soap, so everything is okay. Let's play it out the worst case scenario, says Rabbi Shimon. Let's say the worst possibility that the Iwer that's coming out of the faucet may tap a trafe up the sink. So what would that mean practically? So if I'm washing a fleshic bowl, so I'm washing a bowl with chillant, so we've got chillant residue, the meat coming and getting hit from the water from the faucet and hitting directly onto the sink. And now, if 20 minutes later, I want to wash my milchik dish there, I'm going to put the milchik dish down right there where I just washed the fleshic dish, so that's going to potentially be a problem. But maybe the bleas are going to come out of the fleshic sink and go back into the milchik dish. That may potentially be a problem. Again, putting aside the dish issue, the soap issue, the other possible cool is the ein yatzar lettuce belt, putting aside those factors. The worst case scenario, there's going to be some kind of a blea. So Moshe writes that it's really only going to be a blea if you aim perfectly, or you aim imperfectly, and you end up literally washing that spoon, the milchik spoon, falls right smack on the spot of the sink where the meat hit a short time ago. When I say a short time ago, I mean within the last 24 hours, because let's not forget. Any time that's been sitting inside the walls of any utensil for more than 24 hours is automatically negated. Automatically, there's no some time of gam. It tastes bad. That's the gemara, the end of Avodah Zarah, and we don't have to worry about that. So, says the Maish, if you think about it, the only time that you're really going to have a problem in terms of using the same sink of fleshic and milchik is only if you time it so poorly that you washed fleshic here, and exactly where the fleshic was sitting, that's where the milchik falls. That's potentially going to be a problem. Says Rabbi Shimon, the odds of that happening are not all that good. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon gave the following recommendation. A person really, lechetchila, should not be washing fleshiks in the same sink, and then washing milchiks in the same sink, and then now let's say, you really shouldn't be using the same sink back and forth for fleshiks and milchiks. What you should try to do, says Rabbi Shimon, is try to set up a device that will prevent the stuff from sitting, from falling into the sink itself. So what do you set up? You put a little rack on the bottom, a little tray, a little mash, a little something on the bottom, so the water will be able to go through, but the silverware generally won't fall into the sink itself. And then Rabbi Shimon says, and what if worst comes to worst, the silverware slipped through and end up falling into the quote-unquote tray for sink? So Rabbi Shimon says, big deal. But the ever, we're not going to ask for it anyway. We have so many tzadim l'hokel. We have the soap, and we have the not such hot water, and we have it only if it was in the same spot, and it has to be within ben yomo. So many facts have to combine together to pose problems. So therefore, Moshe said, those are, the evidence of everything's fine. So that was in Moshe's famous Eitzah, it was a long tshuva, where he recommends that if a person only has one sink, remember that's how I grew up, we had one sink, so it was a little tray, a little something, a little rack. You had your fleshic rack, and you had your milchic rack. And if every once in a while something goofed, and a piece of silver was slipped through the rack, Moshe says, b'di'evet, it's fine. B'di'evet, you don't have to assume that it's straight. A lot of that's out of l'hotel. Not everybody agreed to Rav Moshe. Not everybody agreed to Rav Moshe, specifically those who were more chayshish about the chazanish, those who were more concerned that the status of our sinks is much, much more serious than Eroi. Those who held that our sinks are like a clean rishon, because it's all mechubah to the boiler, so that's like a pot. It's like throwing a fleshic silver into a treifer pot, and then milchik silver into everything's treif. So you can't be making on anything. So that was a view of other poskim. That was a view primarily of the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, the Dayan from Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a long tshuva saying that he doesn't think you could just stop and put a little rack there and have the silverware fall through and then just call it b'di'evit, call it okay after the fact. He thought that you have to be really, really careful to make sure that the silverware doesn't actually touch the sink where the milchik was, so the fleshic can't fall, and vice versa. So what do you have to have? It's not enough to have a rack. You have to have a tub. You have to have mamish a separate base basin, a special tub where you wash your fleshic stuff in, and a special thing you wash your milchiks in. That's a little hole in the bottom, else the water won't come out. It becomes a big hassle. It becomes a big pain to wash dishes that way. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva that he writes that those, he doesn't, I don't think he references to that advice, but he says, those poskim who machmir that you need a tub. So Rav Moshe writes, the women have been complaining. They say it's very hard to wash dishes that way. So Rav Moshe writes, I don't think you have to do that. Rav Moshe says, I think Mikra Din, if you follow my eight, I think you're all right. So you have two different approaches in the Gedolei Poskim. What I take is towards the using of the same thing for both. You take the view that nothing could terribly go wrong, so therefore as long as you take a little bit of a precaution, l'chadchila, that's sufficient. But you take the approach that nothing could terribly go wrong. Everything can go wrong. You can trafe up your whole kitchen this way. So you have to be careful to use two separate tubs. So a lot of the issues revolve around many of the principles and kashas that we've been talking about. The nosin tam of gam, the klirishon, the how hot the water is. A lot of these issues are converging together.
These parameters are fine when it comes to chametz as well.
So technically speaking, it really should all be the same. You know, obviously, always in Ufas Chametz, we always have that little bit more of an Atiyah L'Hachmer, but in terms of pure Halacha, so technically it should really be the same. What if a person has a sink, let's say they had, for argument's sake, they kept the sink fleshes, and now they want to switch it, they want to make it a Milchik sink. Or what if they have a Chametz sink, they want to make it a Kosher Pesach, they have a Treif sink, they want to make it kosher. So how would you go about doing that? So you have to address a couple of issues. First of all, you have to address, well, what material is the sink made of? Is it a material that's kosherable? So if it's cheres, if it's some kind of earthenware, porcelain, or something in that family, so that would be a problem, you wouldn't be able to kosher that. If it's a metal sink, then it would be able to be kosher. How would you go about koshering it? So l'chora, you have to mimic whatever the b'liya was, kabbalah kafoto. So this goes back to what we said before. Well, how did the b'liya happen in the first place? If you hold that our sinks are just iroi, you just turn on the faucet, just plain old iroi, so then the way to kasher would be through iroi also. So you want to get water all around the whole sink. You take a tea kettle, you take a pot or something, and you pour water all around the sink and show you that's kabbalah kafoto. That's what many people do when they kasher sinks for Pesach, if they move into a new apartment, kabbalah kafoto. Right. So the problem is, according to the Chazon Ish, it would be a little bit tricky. According to the Chazon Ish, you would have to recreate a mamash kli rishon, but you would have to make sure that when you're doing it, that that the boiler is actually on. Because if the boiler was one time on, so it became trafe through kli rishon, you can't cash it this way. So you got to have one guy sitting in the bottom, one guy screaming up to the top to make sure that it's done properly. So other poskim sevavs, other apes, there's different ways of trying to cash it according to the Chazon Ish standards. I think that most people do like Rav Moshe, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, most people, when they kash the sinks, they just pour the boiling water around it. I think that's what we do in our house. A lot of this discussion now carries over, of course, to the modern day shaila, the issue of dishwashers. Where does dishwashers fit into this whole picture? So dishwashers has pros and cons, because on the one hand, a dishwasher may be a little bit less of a b'liya, less of a giving of taste, even though the way the dishwasher works is that it's too iroi, that the water is being shot, being sprayed all around, all over the dishes. It's what's called irish and nifsak akiluach. The spray is being broken in the middle. It's not like pouring water. When you turn on a faucet, so there's a steady flow of water. When you're shooting a spray of a dishwasher, so it's what's called irish and nifsak akiluach. So there are some folks who say that whenever you have irish and nifsak akiluach, maybe that's nothing. That's like a cliche. It's not even a blear altogether. So that would be one possible mitigating factor to dishwashers. Another mitigating factor with dishwashers would be the fact that there's the soap, the detergent in. So that, as we said before, mikra din is probably going to solve all your problems. It's mikra din, it's not in gam. Those, again, I don't know too much about the materials of dishwashers. Everything I'm saying is just based on what I've seen in the Svarim. So the other postgram are over the fact that apparently the dishwasher runs one a little bit of a cycle before the detergent actually kicks in. So some were concerned that maybe that first running of the cycle may be a problem. That was the bad news. The good news was that apparently that first cycle isn't all that hot. So if it's not all that hot, so it may not be so bad. So you have to stick your head into the dishwasher to figure out what's going on. So you have all these multiple things floating around. Then there were other poskim who were concerned with the end of the dishwashers. They were concerned that there's still gook that's left on the bottom of the dishwashers from the last cycles. To which others responded, that gook is so nifsom, yachilas, everything under the sun. No one can eat the stuff inside the filter of the dishwasher. So you have svaras of kalakar in terms of the dishwashers. There is a further shout that the contemporary poskim have in terms of what if I want to kasher the dishwasher. So should there be any problem with kashering the dishwasher? So again, you have to go back to the original things that we spoke about. What kind of material is it? So most of the dishwashers are plastic. So you have a dishwasher at the inside of plastic, so most poskim can kasher plastic. There are some who are machmer, and that's some of a minig not to kasher plastic, some of extra minig not to kasher for Pesach. But mikro din, plastic can be kasher. If that's the case, then it should be all right to kasher a dishwasher. So if I move into an apartment as a trade dishwasher, how do I kasher it? Kabbalah kafoto. I turn it on and shine. So some, again, were more concerned with the be'en on the bottom. You can't kasher be'en. To which others responded, oh, be'en on the bottom. Whatever you don't see, whatever is gook, whatever is nifsa mechima, it's been sitting in the bottom of the dishwasher for 6 months, it's not going to be edible anymore, so it's not going to cause any problem. So the ikamikra din, one would be permitted to kasher a dishwasher. The Moshe has a chiddush when he talks about kashering dishwashers, so he has something which is hard to understand the Matzias. So Moshe writes that he thinks that you can kasher a dishwasher, but he doesn't think you can kasher the racks. He thinks that the racks with the pots, with the dishes were sitting directly on, are not really going to get all that clean. To which others responded, how can that be? If the dishes themselves get crystal clean, you take the dishes out, they're spotless, how could the racks be dirtier than the dishes themselves? So they weren't exactly sure what Ramesha meant. So Ramesha had the suggestion. He thought that he thinks you could kosher a dishwasher, you have to get new racks. I think the problem is I don't think they sell racks anymore. I don't think it was back in the 1950s. I'm not sure. I'm not holding in the nuances of dishwashers today. My impression is that if you want a new rack, you better buy a new dishwasher. Like most things in the world today, you have to buy the new item itself. So whatever it is, so they're yesh v'yesh. There are some poskim who permitted the outright kashrut of dishwashers. You can kashrut, you know, from trace, kosher, pesach, chametz to pesach, etc. Whether it's a good public policy to be kashruing dishwashers back and forth places to milchiks is a different question. This is a particular issue that comes up in hotels and catering establishments, so it becomes a lot easier to start kashruing dishwashers back and forth. So again, this is something that tashkach organizations have to decide, whether this was something is mutter, it may not be a good idea, because sometimes if something like en masse kashering, if you're kashering every 10 minutes, you're kashering from one meal to the next, so that may spell trouble. That may not be the most efficient way of keeping your kitchen kosher if you're dealing with big crowds. So it's probably not such a great idea to be doing that. But in terms of the ikik redin, because the kashering dishwashers, since that dishwashers are usually made of plastic, and the be'en is probably negligible, and anything else is going to be kashered with kibbutz kafoto, it would probably be acceptable. But again, so this whole sugi of washing dishes, interestingly enough, doesn't appear in the Gemara. There's no Gemara about washing the dishes. It's all the Tosfos that started off the sugi of not by not. Tosfos began to compare it to not by not and show the differences. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, we saw a lot of the factors that go into this discussion, the factors of the heat of the water, the factors of the type of the clay the water is coming from, the factor of how dirty the dishes are, the factors of detergent, the things of this nature. When all these factors get put together, so you have to try to figure out whether you have a problem with the oven, whether you have an issue with chachila. So you have to talk about washing with sinks, the issue of ramayshas, and you have to talk about the issue of dishwashers, and try to come to some kind of conclusion based on all the principles that we spoke. Okay.